Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
God gives us direction in His Word, and that's first of all what we want to follow. Now, let me give you another step to what I believe really hearing from God in things like what car to buy, what house to buy, what town to live in, who to marry, things you don't find within the Word of God. If you are not willing to be obedient to what you find in the Scriptures, then why would God speak to you about other things?
We might complain that we never hear from God, wondering why He doesn't clearly speak to us or tell us what direction to take in our lives. But are we following God close enough to hear, to listen, and to trust? We continue studying the message of the gospel spread to the Gentiles and the early church as we see God speak to Peter in a mighty way. Here's part two of our study in Acts 10, 17 through 35.
If you're a genuine Christian, you've really made a commitment to Christ, you are going to be led by the Spirit. This is Romans 8, 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. It's one of the evidences that we have that our faith is genuine. We are being led by the Spirit. And yet putting your hand on the leading of the Spirit is so difficult. The Spirit primarily speaks through His Word. We've already talked about that. In 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that all Scripture is given by the inspiration God breathed. That's a connection to the Spirit. That the man of God could be thoroughly equipped for doctrine, for every good work. God's got good works for you to walk in, and His Word gives us the direction that we need to have on that. So there is this guiding of the Holy Spirit. Now, there's another way the Holy Spirit guides us that I think is very important, and that's through the fruit of the Spirit. Listen to what it says in Galatians 5:22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, or long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It says, against such there is no law. And then it says a little bit later on, if we live in the Spirit, we will also walk in the Spirit. So the Spirit's going to lead you and guide you. And if you are filled with the Spirit, then you're not going to be mean. You're not going to lack patience. You're going to be kind. You're going to have peace. That's the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, what I'm saying is you find yourself making a decision and all of a sudden there's no peace. You just find yourself in turmoil. I don't know that God's telling you not to do that thing. But I know it means some deeper prayer and seeking from you as to whether or not you should do it. The first time that I got married with Lisa, I was 19 years old when I got married. And I got married pretty quick, didn't think much about it. When I got married to Kathy, I was 54. I thought a lot more about marriage when I was 54 before I got married. I sought God a lot deeper about whether or not I should even get married at 54 than I did at 19. Here was my thought process at 19. She's pretty. God, can I marry her? That was my prayer when I saw her the first time. I'm not even lying. It was in a little wild charismatic church. I'm in the back. She's up front with her hands raised. And I'm like, oh, I'm in church. Hey, church is not a bad place to find a mate, by the way, right? It's not a bad place to find that person that you're going to marry. But maybe, you know, and I'm not saying it wasn't, God did what God did. God had providence going on there. But if you are feeling not peace about something, that could be God's direction. Doesn't mean you don't do it. Maybe you're feeling not the lack of peace for some other reason, but you prayerfully make a decision. This is really important. Prayerfully make a decision. If you don't prayerfully make decisions, you get frozen. And being frozen is making a decision. You know, if you're like, should I ask him to marry me or not? I don't know. Well, you're not asking him. And if you're frozen, you're not going to ask him. But if you prayerfully make a decision and you make that decision and you make the wrong decision, and that does happen because we don't always clearly hear from God. The problem isn't God's communication. The problem is the antenna. We don't always get it right. But if we've prayerfully made a decision, then God can come in and make a correction when he needs to make a correction. And if we're listening enough to him, God's big enough to change it, right? If you've prayerfully made a decision instead of presumptuously making a decision. Do you see the difference? Presumption, she's pretty, I want to marry her. prayerful. Lord, do you want me to marry her? Lord, can I marry her? Now, I had a little presumption and prayer going on in my desire to marry her. We didn't marry for a year and a half, by the way, until after that moment. But God's plan came about. Now, the next thing that we see here is in verse 21. It says, then Peter went down to the men who had been sent from him, from Cornelius, and said, yes, I am the one whom you seek. For what reason have you come? And they said, Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God, has a good reputation among the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear your words. So God needs to get a hold of Cornelius. He gets a hold of Peter by giving him a vision and speaking to him, but he gets a hold of Cornelius with an angel. Now, I've never seen an angel either. I've wanted to. Years ago, I had a friend of mine told me the other night in my room, an angel came. God had an angel appear to me. He was big and burly, had big wings. He was 7 feet tall. Of course he was. He wasn't a little wimpy. Oh, I'm an angel from God. And I remember two things I remember. First of all, I didn't believe him, okay? Even at like what I was then, 16 years old, I think when he told me, I'm just a skeptical person. And when he told me I saw an angel, I'm like, yeah, right, you know? I don't know, maybe an angel did appear to him. I don't know. But God's never appeared to me with an angel. But that doesn't mean an angel hasn't been involved in what I'm doing. Because the Bible says in Hebrews 1:14, are they, angels, not all ministering spirits sent to minister to those who have life? And they do God's bidding. God sends them out and they do it, just like we do it. We say, well, why would God use angels? Why wouldn't God do it? I don't know. Why would God not just go and get people saved? Why is God using us? God uses angels and humans to do the work God's called us to do. Jesus was strengthened by angels twice. He was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness. He was tempted and afterwards weakened. And angels came and ministered to him, strengthened him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he prayed and sweat fell like great drops of blood from his head. And afterwards, angels came and strengthened him. I wonder if you've ever been strengthened by angels. I wonder if angels have ever brought you direction. I wonder if angels have ever protected you in the guardian angel kind of way. I believe that's the case for me. I can't point to anything with proven facts, but there are things that are just odd enough in my life that I go, I believe God's leading me with it. And I believe God does it today because of what God's word says. God's big enough to get to us what we really need to be able to get and understand. In Isaiah 55:11, it says, so my word will be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void. It shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing which I send it out. So God gives us direction in his word, and that's first of all what we want to follow. Now, let me give you another step to what I believe really hearing from God in things like what car to buy, what house to buy, what town to live in, who to marry, things you don't find within the Word of God. If you are not willing to be obedient to what you find in the Scriptures, then why would God speak to you about other things? If God clearly tells you something here and you go, I don't want to do that, then when you go, Lord, am I supposed to take this job? At one point, God says, my people constantly put things in front of them that cause them to sin. Should I allow myself to be heard from them at all? So God said something to Peter here, which is really interesting. And it's all the way back up near the beginning. He said to him, go down. This is in verse 17. While Peter was wondering this vision, behold, men were at the gate of Simon's house. Actually, it's a little bit further on. It's down at verse 20. Arise therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Well, doubting nothing. Well, you and I have doubts. And quite frankly, my doubts have led me to finding the answers of really tough things that are in the Bible. When I doubt something, then God's able to bring it in. So why did he tell him to doubt nothing? Were we involved in blind faith? Is there no evidence for Christianity? There's incredible evidence for Christianity. If you've never dove in and begin to look it up, just get evidence that demands a verdict by Sean McDowell, who, by the way, will be here for our conference this year, in this next coming up year in March. But grab a hold of his book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, and just begin to read the evidence for Christianity, because it's there. We don't have blind faith. So what did he mean, doubting nothing? He told him, get up and go down and meet them, doubting nothing. He gave him a word and said, don't doubt it. So God gives us his word, and this is what we're not supposed to doubt. See, when the Bible says something like this, what is it, Colossians 2:42, I think. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, as Christ has forgiven us. And then you go, be kind one to another. Oh, I guess I can do that. Forgiving one another. I'm not forgiving them. Not after they ignored me at church. I'm not forgiving them after they said something to somebody else. God told me to forgive them, but I'm not forgiving them. Well, now you're not doubting nothing. Now you're thinking, that's not for me. And I could tell you a lot of people do that with the Word of God. The Bible says this, but you say, no, I think it's this. The Bible says, don't be unequally yoked, and you go, I can marry a non-believer. It'll be okay for me. See, you're doubting God's Word. And if you're going to doubt the direction God gives you clearly in his word about how to morally live, then is he going to give you direction in other aspects of your life when you need it? I'm not saying he won't. I'm just asking a question. So another verse. Jesus said, if you follow me, deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow me. And so you hear that and you go, I don't want to deny myself. But that's what Christians do. We do not just instantly gratify ourselves on every aspect. This is what I want. I want it now. I'm going to get it now. The Bible says deny yourself. And so you go, well, that's not for me. But if the Bible clearly says it, doubting nothing, we are to do what the Word of God says. And once we are doing what the Word of God says, which is not too hard to do, it doesn't mean we don't fail from time to time, but we have the forgiveness of God. If you sin, you confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins. But you say, Lord, I want to live what you've revealed in your word. I want to do those things and I want to doubt nothing. And there's a power in that because I'll tell you what, not many people are living this way. Not many people go, I want to do what it says in the Bible to do, even if it costs me something. You don't think God sees the cost? You don't think that God honors when you say, I'm going to live this way because that's what's revealed in the word of God for me to do. That's God's will for me. And so make a commitment to live the will of God as you find it in the pages of Scripture. And then when you're praying for those things that are harder to really grasp and understand, should I take this new job? Should I join the military? Should I move to this new city? We're able to find God's direction in a clearer way. Now, let me just read a couple more things to you and then we'll wrap it up. Verse 23 says, then he invited them in to lodge with him. Now, Peter's doing what Peter's never done. The word lodge means to entertain. He doesn't invite the Gentiles in and go, there's a floor, sleep on it. He entertains them. He'd never done that before. How do we know? We'll read that in a moment. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some of the brethren in Joppa accompanied him. So now we got Jewish people traveling with Gentiles to a Roman city. And the following day, they entered Caesarea. Now Cornelius was waiting for them and had called together his relatives and close friends. As Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshiped him. This is how out of it Cornelius is. He doesn't know anything about Christianity. He falls down and worships Peter of all people. And Peter lifted him up saying, stand up, I am also a man. And as he talked with them, he went and found many who had come together. Then he said to them, you know how unlawful it is for Jewish men to keep company and to go into one of another nation. Notice that he quotes it correctly. Don't take wives from the other nations. But he had misread it to not have anything to do with Gentiles. That's not what it meant. We can see it. And he says to keep company with another nation. It never said don't keep company with them. It said don't marry them. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Did you notice that Peter got it? God had said, don't call unclean what I call clean, talking about food. But Peter knew God told me not to call a man unclean when he's clean. He got it. See, God's big enough to get us the message. In fact, I think he's an expert at it. God can do it. Therefore, I came without objection. I love that too. As soon as I was sent for, I went with the Gentiles. And I asked then, for what reason have you sent me? So Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. And in the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood on the door with bright clothing. This is an angel. And we read this already earlier in this chapter. And said, Cornelius, your prayers have been heard and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa and call Simon here, who is surnamed Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon the tanner by the sea. When he comes, he will speak to you. And I sent to you immediately, and you have done well to come. Now, therefore, we are present before God to hear the things commanded you by God. So they're like, okay, speak, is what they say. Then Peter opened up his mouth and said, in truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. This is the light bulb moment for Peter. God likes the Gentiles too. Shocking. Who would have ever thought that? That's what Peter's saying. See, God converted Peter and Cornelius. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. So Peter says, whoever genuinely seeks God is going to be found by him, no matter what nation they are. Later on, Paul would say, we who are not a people were made a people together by God. What a powerful thing. Now, a couple of things in closing. Number one, first, be familiar with the Word of God. If you're not reading the Word of God regularly, then read it. It doesn't take that much to sit down and read it. You know, you can read the entire Bible in 70 hours. That's not a very long time. Some of you guys are like, that long? No, it's not long. It seems longer. And if you just take a few minutes a day to prioritize, I don't care if it's in the morning, noon, or night. I don't care when the best time for you to do it is, but just be reading through. Choose a book of the Bible and start reading through it. Then choose another one and start to read through it. Let God's Word get inside of you. The Holy Spirit can bring it back when it needs to be done. I don't know that there is a healthy way to be a Christian without prioritizing reading the Word of God in our lives. And it brings us direction because God's Holy Spirit brings back to memory the things that are here. So if we don't memorize them, if we don't know them, being in a church that teaches through the Bible is a good thing. Because here you are and God can bring these things to your memory, but prioritizing it is important. Number two, remember you're walking by the Spirit and the Spirit leads you and guides you. And this is so nuanced that there's no really way to be able to say that's the Spirit or not the Spirit. You just are looking for the Spirit to guide you. And one of the best ways he guides you is through conviction. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit will come and he will convict you of sin, righteousness, and judgment. So I'm with another pastor on Friday and we're hanging out and he brings up the name of another pastor here in Tucson. And immediately I am tempted to gossip. I know that shocks you, but I was immediately convicted. Immediately the Spirit spoke to me and said, don't do that. Don't do this. And I was good for about 3 minutes. And then I gossip. And then I had to say this later on, I'm sorry I talked about this other guy. I had to apologize because now I'm still convicted that I shouldn't have done that. But the gossip got the best of me. Let me tell you what I know. And I had to apologize for what I had done. So the Holy Spirit works in so many different ways. But here's the thing, the Holy Spirit works. So look for that guidance in your life. Now, God speaks primarily through his word, but sometimes God uses providence. Sometimes God uses angels. Sometimes God uses other people who will come to you and speak to you something that you know you need to hear. Sometimes you show up in church and you think, I'm not going to get anything out of this. And suddenly God is speaking to you in a tremendous way. Stand with me, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity we have to be able to look here at this chapter of the conversion of the Gentiles. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would help us to be able to hear from you, be directed by you, and led by you. And we thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'd like you to keep your heads bowed, please. Your eyes closed for just a couple of minutes. But if you're here today and you've never given your life to Christ, you've never said, I want to be a Christian. I want to receive him. The Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. The thief on the cross simply said, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. The Bible says, as many as receive him, he gives the right to become a child of God to those who believe. This means you're becoming a disciple of Jesus. Our commission, the church's commission, which is our vision, go out and make disciples of all nations. We're not just making converts, we're making disciples. You are now following him, living for him, representing him. That's what disciples do. He is your rabbi, and you will be learning from him and living for him. And God's got a plan and purpose in these days that we are living in. We are living in dark and corrupt days. And God is looking for those who will say, I'll stand in the gap. I'll live for him. I'll represent him. I'll be the light of the world. I'll be the salt of the earth. And if you're here today and you want to surrender your life to Christ, then I'm going to ask you to do something bold. Heads bowed, eyes closed, but just raise your hand. Lift your hand up now as you say, I'm done living for myself and I'm ready to live for him. I will deny myself, pick up my cross and follow him. Just raise your hand now. I want to take time to acknowledge your hand and pray for you. God bless you up in the balcony. Sir, that's great. God bless you underneath the balcony, sir. That's awesome. God bless you, ma'am, under the balcony as well. This is God's moment. The Bible says today, if you hear God's voice, don't harden your heart. That's because people will hear God's voice and harden their heart and not respond. But here he is knocking and calling that he might be able to transform you and change you. God bless you right down here in the front. That's awesome. Anyone else? All right, you can put your hands down. And if I missed your hand, know that God saw it, okay? And I would like everyone, including those who raised their hand and those online that want to give your life to Christ, repeat this prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I've sinned. And I know my sin has separated me from you. But I also understand I can be forgiven by the death of Jesus on the cross. So I invite you into my life and I turn from my sin that I can live for you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Welcome to the family of God. How exciting. Now listen, for those of you who raised your hand, it's really important for you to know that raising your hand and praying a prayer doesn't save you. And you might say, well, why'd you have me raise my hand and pray a prayer? Because that's the point of faith, that you are saying to him, I want you in my life. And that's what saves you, trusting in him. The thief on the cross said, remember me when you enter into your kingdom. That wasn't what saved him. It was the faith that caused him to ask that question that saved him. The question was just the point of faith. You're raising your hand was your point of faith, but it is by the faith that you have of saying, I want you in my life and I want to live for you. And I want to say to those of you who raised your hand, God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. You have to follow through. We've got a Bible for you. We want to let you know where to begin to read it at our new believers table. We've got a new believers team that's here. These guys are great. Stop by there, meet them. We want to help you be able to run swiftly for the Lord.
Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living with Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson. We pray that wherever you're listening from, the study of God's Word is encouraging you and strengthening your walk with Christ. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com. Producing this program would not happen without the support and generosity of listeners like you. If you would like to partner with us financially, and Practical Christian Living Radio and TV has blessed you, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. We'd love for you to join us at one of our two campuses in Tucson. Our West Campus is located at 5170 South Julian Drive, and our East Campus is located at 8711 East Speedway. East Campus service times are Saturday at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 10 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sundays at 8:45 a.m. and 11:15 a.m. Our midweek service times are Wednesday evenings at 6 p.m. at our East Campus and 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. You can also listen live to our Sunday morning 9:30 service and Wednesday evening 6 p.m. service right here on Reach Radio Tucson at 106.7 FM, 690 AM, streaming at reach.radio or via our Reach Radio app on your Android or iPhone. If you have recently accepted Jesus into your life and you have questions about salvation, we'd love to help guide you in your journey. Email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. Don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. Our local listeners can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9 TV. Thank you for joining us for Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Tucson, where we are reaching for Jesus, connecting with people, and walking in truth.
Calvary Tucson has developed a discipleship school with you in mind. Reach College of Ministry is for adults of all ages who want a deeper relationship with Jesus, a stronger grasp of the Bible, and practical insight into fulfilling your God-given calling. Earn your certificate in theology in as little as 1 year, or enroll in individual courses for personal growth. Attend courses online or in person at Calvary Tucson's East Campus. Visit thereachcollege.org today to learn more and start this exciting journey.